Psalm 119. If you're willing and able, stand with us for just a moment. And we want to read the first 8 verses. I won't read all 176 of them to you like we did last week. That was an undertaking, to say the least. But I enjoyed doing it. I trust you enjoyed hearing it read and given to you last week. And then enjoying our studies out of Psalm 119, just some seed thoughts, and some would call them gold nuggets, little nuggets of truth that we've looked at kind of in a broad view. Tonight, if the Lord will help us, I want to begin our study of Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1. We'll deal with each 8 verse section at a time, and we'll try to anyway. It may take us, I don't know. I was talking to my dad today and telling him about what I was going to preach. He said, you ought to just take one verse a week. I said, Dad, there's 176 verses. And I done the math, and that means I would be probably near 4 years preaching just in Psalm 119. And every verse probably deserves a message, and could preach a message from every verse. But I do want to try to, amen, chunk it out a little bit so we're not maybe missing the forest for the trees. So let's look in verse number 1 down through verse number 8. The Bible said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. And this portion of Psalm 119 ends with the prayer of this psalmist, oh, forsake me not utterly. All right, you can be seated. Let me pray just a moment, and then we'll start our study this evening. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we know tonight, Lord, that we're nothing without you. And as Sister Candy just reminded us in song and in testimony, that, Lord, all that we have need of, your hand has supplied. Lord, you have been so good to us and faithful to us, and Lord, we're mindful of that tonight in prayer, and Lord, in the prelude prayer to the message and the study, Lord, we'll make tonight, we want to acknowledge that to you. Thank you, Lord, for how faithful you've been. Lord, I ask you now this evening, as we've taken the Word of God and opened it and read it and presented it here to these folk that have gathered in tonight, I pray, Lord, that our study of it, that, Lord, our fellowship around these thoughts tonight would be strengthened our heart and grow us in the faith. And Lord, I pray it edify us, Lord. I know we're tired in body and in mind, but I pray, Lord, the inward man, Lord, would, take notice, Lord, of the scripture tonight and of truth and be energized and recharged. Lord, may we get tonight what we need from you, and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We understand, as we've been dealing with Psalm 119, of course, it's the longest portion of Scripture, far as in a chapter, or we would say a psalm tonight, as there is in the Word of God, 176 verses, and nearly, if not every verse, in some form or fashion or way, deals with the Word of God. This is the psalmist, we believe, David, and his magnifying of what God's Word means to him in his life. And so he's going to deal with every verse, every section that is found within this portion of Scripture. Bears above it, as we dealt with on last week, a name of the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew alphabet. Some have referenced it as the golden alphabet, heaven's alphabet. And whatever title you want to put on it, we find that every 8 verse section, 22 sections, deal with a heading of the Hebrew alphabet. The heading of these first 8 verses that we dealt with And just mentioned each of them last week, but I want to dive maybe a little deeper and use the heading to build a thought for these eight verses tonight. The heading of these first eight verses is the Hebrew letter Aleph. And if you remember last week, if you have your paper, you can reference it, but it bears the symbolic meaning of an ox. And we said on last week that this word would remind us the word of God is like an ox. And we think about that this evening. The ox is known for its strength and for its service. And in thinking of that and being mindful of an ox and its strength, its power, its service and serviceability, we could say tonight, oh, how strong is God's word in our life. And what service it provides to you and I as God's children. Imagine where we'd be if we didn't have the strength of the Word of God to rely upon and put our life upon, and all the different ways the Word of God serves our life and ministers to our life and is a servant to our spiritual life. You take God's Word out of our lives and we'd be in a mess this evening, for we are weak and there's a lot of things we can't do for ourselves, but God has provided through the Word of God something that is like an ox. It ministers strength where we're weak and ministers to our life where we can't serve ourselves. Oh, what service we find tonight from the Word of God. I thought about an ox over the last week or so as we've been preparing this thought and from this section of verses. And I thought about an ox and the animal that it is, what we would think about. And we could say tonight the ox is a packing animal. And by that, we just simply mean as a beast of burden. The ox can carry heavy loads that men cannot carry in and of themselves. And so it's a packing animal. You can take what is heavy for you and put it upon the ox, and what is heavy for you is not heavy to that massive beast of burden. And I think about the Word of God. Again, we're oftentimes found to be lacking in strength, and we maybe stumble under the load. We get more on us than we can hold, much less carry and move. And yet, the Word of God as an ox is that we can bring our burdens to. I'm thankful the Word of God is strong tonight. And we can lay our burdens down on the pages of God's Word and find that that truth, the truth of God, and the promises He's made in His Word, that they can carry the loads of our life. I thought about the ox as a not only a packing animal, but as a pulling animal. And again, because of its strength, it can pull great loads over long distances. And I think about the Word of God and how long it's been pulling God's people and God's church and all the burdens that even just our own church over the last many decades now that it's been in this community, all the days and seasons of heaviness and needs and burdens, how the Word of God has pulled this ministry along and carried those things for this church. And we're here tonight not because of great pastors and great members. We're here tonight because of the strength of the Word of God that has pulled the ministry along. I thought about it as a pulling animal that it can pull things out that are stuck in the mire. And I think about my own life, how many times I've been stuck in a rut or stuck in some mire of sin. And I've not been pulled out because I'm so great or, amen, had some great heritage. I've learned these years of being saved that the Word of God is like that pulling ox. It'll bring you out of the mire and out of the ditch and bring you out of what's got you bogged down. I'm thankful this evening. Amen. I don't want to bog down preach here, but I am thankful tonight. Amen. This book's been pulling me along and pulling my life out of a mess And I'd have been done out and bogged down a long time ago had it not been for the Word of God pulling my life along, a packing animal and a pulling animal. And then I think we understand this tonight. The ox, we think about it, it may be. What it would be most known for is a plowing animal. A plowing animal, an ox. And we think about this evening that when an ox connected to a plow and used by the plowman, that this animal can be used to break up the hardest of grounds in preparation of the sowing of the seed upon the field. It's that animal. In fact, we'd say it'd be used throughout the whole agricultural process of a field. It would be used to pull the plow, open the earth. It would be used then after the seed was in and come up in harvest time. The ox is going to come through the field again, and they're going to put the harvest on the cart or on the back of that animal. And all of that begins with this ox plowing the field. Amen. And I think about the Word of God as an ox. And you take God's plowman, the man of God, and the truth of God's Word, and how the Word of God, amen, begins to turn over our hearts and our lives and our family and our ministry, and opens up the hardest parts of our life so that the seed can make its way down in our life. And I can get hard, and don't get too upset at me or down on me tonight. Amen. You can get cold-hearted and foul of ground in your heart at times. But ain't it wonderful to think about all the times the Word of God has just plowed you open and broke up the foul of ground and turned some things over, and the seed could fall into your life and into your heart and spring up in days to come and bring fruit and harvest. And all of that is predicated on the Word of God, amen, plowing our lives. And so thank God for these aspects, and we can think about the Word of God as an ox in our life. Now, that being in mind, I thought about the ox tonight and its association with the yoke. We think about an ox, and then we automatically think, especially in being a plowing animal, that the ox is associated with the yoke. The yoke is that connecting implement linking the ox to another that is in training. And so we think about and consider Jesus, who is the living Word, Brother Mike. He's the living Word, gave the invitation in Matthew 11:29. Here's what He said: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You remember what He said? He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And the picture that He is painting is that of Himself being an ox. And there is a twofold yoke in which you can enter in and take His yoke upon you. And in doing so, He is going to learn you. He is going to teach you. And He is going to train you how, amen, to walk in the ways of God. And we think tonight about the ox and how it pictures not only there, our Savior and our Lord. In so many ways that can be typified, especially an ox being a sacrificial animal, and certainly Jesus fulfills that. But in this matter of Him being the living Word, calling us to Him, to be connected to Him, to be attached to Him by way of that yoke, He has, the master ox, training us the much younger, weaker, dare I say, dumber ox, amen, that needs some training and schooling from Him as the living Word, amen. And so He is calling us into that connection. And notice with me what Psalm 119, verse number 7 said again. We read it a moment ago, and I'll show you the connection that I want to make. David said, "I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. David, in this section of Psalm 119 that likens the word of God to an ox, says, there are some things that I've been learning. The word of God is an ox. I've entered in and been connected to it and yoked to it. And it has been teaching me. By the way, can I say that when we take the yoke of Jesus upon us and learn of him, that really, really this evening we must understand, amen, that the only way you can be yoked to Jesus is to be yoked to his word. And the only way you're going to learn of Jesus is to learn of his word. Amen. And so you cannot separate the living word from the written word. And this evening I think about the word of God as an ox. And I'm thinking of a yoke tonight. And it being an ox, it being the master ox, it being the, amen, the wise ox, the ancient ox, the ox that knows, my friend, how to plow and how to, amen, walk a straight row and plow a level field and do what needs to be done. And oh, how our lives need to be yoked to the word of God so that you and I can learn from it the kind of life that the Lord would have for you and I to live. And so if I was to give a thought tonight to these verses with that in mind, I want to deal with tonight, preach or teach or whatever I'm doing this evening, amen, hopefully not just rambling, but I want to deal with the thought tonight on yoking your life to the Word of God. Yoking your life to the Word of God. And I want to say this evening as we make our way into these verses tonight, with that thought in mind, it is essential, first of all, that we understand that our lives must be, amen, born of the ox. We must have an ox nature within us. In Deuteronomy 22:10, under the law, there is a picture that is painted of our own spiritual life. And the Lord said to the nation of Israel, you shall not plow with an ox and an ass in the same yoke. And the idea of that, the spiritual picture or principle of that, is you have animals that are of two different natures. And so you can't take an ox and an ass and put them in the same yoke, Brother Tim, and expect them to fit the yoke. And the ass is never going to learn what it needs to learn from the ox. Amen. That ox can only train that is of its same nature. And tonight I think about, amen, this yoke tonight and yoking our life to the Word of God. And there is an epidemic across our land in American Christianity tonight of people that want nothing to do with yoking their lives to the Word of God. They want to be yoked to a church. They want to be yoked to religion. They want to be yoked to some certain tradition or some sort of liberal form of association under religious banner. But tonight, that'll never be enough. That'll never be enough to make you the child of God that the Word of God calls us to be. Amen. You got to be born again. You got to, amen, to put it in biblical terms. I don't mean it as crude as our generation would take it tonight. But you can't be of the nature of an ass and expect to yoke your life to the Word of God and it benefits you at all. Amen. You've got to be born again of the Word of God. You've got to have, amen, a nature on the inside of you that, amen, has the same nature that's found in the Word of God. Does that make sense? I'm about to mess up and preach a salvation message right there. Amen. And I'm convinced I beat my head against the wall as a pastor, amen, for near 25 years trying to get certain people in the church to yoke their life to the Word of God. And they never fit in the yoke. They're not interested in the yoke. They can't run in the yoke because maybe, amen, they are not natured to what this book is natured to. Amen. Amen. And I won't go off on a tangent, but I'm telling you, I know what I'm preaching about. Amen. A little help would be nice. Amen. And so there, if we're going to yoke our life to the Word of God, we must have the nature of, amen, of this ox, the Word of God. In Jeremiah 5, I think about this, something the Lord said about the nation of Israel and about his people. I believe it's Jeremiah 5, verse number 5. The Lord said, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. Amen. The judgment of their God, the Word of God. Judgment is a synonym for God's Word. But notice what he said, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. And so the Lord is saying through the prophet Jeremiah, I'm going to go to men who know God's truth, who know God's word and the doctrine that is in it. These men that have known it of old. And yet the Lord knew that these men, though they had been connected to truth and been yoked to the word of God, that they had allowed their life to be hardened to that connection and to that yoke. And the Lord said they have cast off the yoke and they burst the bonds and connected them to the ancient truths that God had set forth to them in days gone by. And so tonight, let me say, amen, that we that are saved and been given that connection by way of the new birth, the day we got saved, the day, amen, our life was natured, our life was fit, amen, to be able to get in that yoke and to learn from the Word of God. But we've got to guard our lives from, amen, that carnal life and that fleshly life and casual Christianity that would, amen, in time to come say, I'm tired of the yoke, I'm tired of being connected unto this truth, and then to throw off that yoking of our life, the Word of God, and find ourselves as Old Testament Israel did, out of sorts with our Lord and our Savior. And so you saw that'll never happen to me. I'm saved, I'm spiritual, I've got it all nailed down. Amen. Well, you're probably already taking the first few steps, amen, to unyoking and unhitching your life from the Word of God. Amen. And you'll see that tonight as it requires a certain level of humility. Yoking your life to the Word of God. A Word of God, like an ox, connected to our life. What happens when we yoke our life to the Word of God? Let me show you three aspects in the Christian life that we learn when we stay yoked to the Word of God. Amen. What happens? What do we learn? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What do we learn when our lives are yoked to the ox of the Word of God? Number one, verses 1 and 2, let me give you a quick word about, we'll learn something about the blessed life. We learn something about the blessed life. This psalm begins, this opening section begins using the word blessed. Blessed is used to begin both verse 1 and 2 in your King James Bible. It means literally happiness. Happiness as a spiritual bliss in the life of the believer. And when we study the word blessed, we understand there's a lot of things. And our spiritual bliss, our happiness is connected to in light of our relationship with the Lord. But here it's going to be directly connected to the Word of God. Amen. And so this evening we think about a word blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. This word blessed, it is always used to interject an immeasurable joy
that only God's people can know. Amen. The drunkard can't know this blessedness tonight. We're talking about a spiritual joy. We're talking about an eternal, everlasting happiness. We're talking about something that abides even when your world's been flipped upside down. On your worst day, it's still there because it goes beyond what the eye can see. It goes beyond where the foot can carry you. It goes beyond what the hand can touch tonight. And it is a joy that a man abides within and is absolutely everlasting. And I say tonight, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. And the world knows nothing tonight of the blessed life that comes, amen, from yoking your life to the Word of God. There are families tonight, there are people in this world tonight, that their lives are in misery, their lives are lived in depression, their lives are lived, my friend, in being on the outs all the time. They've got to have pills to wake them up and pills to put them to bed. They've got to, my friend, have everything right on the outside. Amen. To even find a thimbleful of happiness in this life. And even then, there's something that's missing on the inside. That you can take a child of God. And my friend, saved by the grace of God, know something about heaven being their home when they leave this world. Have a hope on the inside. And they're living their life yoked to the Word of God. And it, my friend, they can be fighting 50 acres of hell at a time. And they can be staring the devil in the face. And their world, my friend, out of sorts, sailing through storms, climbing mountains, crossing valleys. And my friend, near drowning in circumstances. And yet, if you'll yoke your life to the Word of God, David begins the whole psalm saying, at doing that, you learn how to live a blessed life. Amen. Have you learned what it is? Amen. Have you learned what it is through yoking your life to truth and yoking your life to the Word of God of what it is to really live a satisfied life? I wrote it down this way. The Scriptures satisfy saints. When your life is yoked to the Word of God, maybe I need to be careful how I say it. I don't want to be super spiritual tonight. I understand the outward effects. I understand that circumstances, they bear down on us. But at the end of the day, here's what the Word of God, amen, our lives connected to and teaches us, is that in that yoke, we learn how to maintain joy. We learn how to maintain satisfaction. Amen. We learn, my friend, how, amen, to worship and rejoice even when our world is falling apart. Amen. You don't buy that down at the Walmart shelf. Amen. They don't run that on special down here at the DG. Amen. You don't find that at Neyland Stadium or the Swamp. Amen. Amen. That's something you only going to find, amen, by yoking your life to the Word of God. The blessed life. Amen. I hope that's making sense tonight. Amen. I wrote it down this way. Our bliss as a believer is directly connected with the Bible. Our bliss as a believer is directly connected with the Bible. Amen. You take the Word. You know what I thought about? I didn't write it down, but I did get it up here. It's a miracle. I remembered it, Brother Larry, but let me interject it right here. You know, an ox does no good if you leave it in the crib. The ox does no good if you just leave it out in the field. Amen. The ox is only, amen, effective in your life. Amen. When you get yoked to it with, amen, it's put to the service that it's used for. And may I say, there's nothing I know in all the world that services satisfaction in our life as God's children greater or into any greater degree than that of yoking our lives to the Word of God. Amen. You're going to have to get it off the nightstand. You're going to have to take it home with you, not leave it in the church pew. Amen. You're going to have to do more than just let it sit around. Amen. You're going to have to plug your life into it. By the way, you're going to have to do more than read it every morning. Amen. I'm not talking, that's a good place to start. Read it. Amen. But I'm not preaching on reading. Amen. Reading your life into the Word of God. I'm talking about yoking it up and taking, amen, those truths that you read and those truths that are studied and those truths that are preached in our life from the Word of God and yoking our life to that. And we will learn something about the blessed life when we do. Amen. Amen. Let me give you a few things under here. Amen. Notice with me this blessed life. I see here the undefiled path of the blessed life. Amen. If we learn something about the blessed life, it involves an undefiled path. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. In other words, David is saying, amen, that as I yoke my life to the Word of God, it leads me in an undefiled path. It doesn't lead me into sin. It doesn't, and that's why there's such joy in it. Amen. There may be pleasure in sin for a season, but it ain't lasted. But real lasting joy is found, amen, in being yoked to the Word of God. And it leads us in an undefiled path in which is a lasting joy for our life. Amen. Not temporal, not for a moment. Amen. Not something that lasts for a little while and then fades away. But a yoke, a connection in our life, amen, that involves an undefiled path. Amen, he talks about blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And I say this evening, that this undefiled path, it is taking us in a straight and forward direction. In fact, one of the definitions for the word blessed, when you begin to study it out and dive in the depths of a word study on that word blessed, Sister Marcia, it literally has the idea of moving forward. Can I tell you something this evening? Amen, the blessed life, the Word of God, amen, learns us in. Amen, it teaches us how to walk forward in an undefiled path. Amen, not backing up, not going back where we came from, not going back to the old life, not going back to the old things. Amen, but living in an undefiled path. Amen, a way of holiness, a way of righteousness, and a way that, my friend, leaves us untainted and unstained and unsullied from the things that are in this world. And can I say that is truly where the blessed life is found? Amen. When your life is lived in an undefiled path. Amen. It involves an undefiled path. It involves an undistracted protection. Amen. Look with me in verse number 2. Blessed. Here it is again. It gives us two things. In verse number 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. An undistracted protection. And so David said, I understand the blessed life. Amen. The Word of God is learning me in. And it involves an undistracted protection. And the things the Lord has given to me from his Word, it is my obligation not to get distracted about those things, amen, but to guard them, to protect them, and to hedge them into my life. Oh, can I say this evening? Amen, the blessed life in yoking our lives to the Word of God, it involves you and I, amen, guarding what God has given us. Amen, when we see something for ourselves, when our teachers instruct us in what that Word of God said, when our pastors and evangelists said, and preachers magnify truth to you and I, it is our job, if we're going to live the blessed life, amen, being yoked in the Word of God, it involves you and I say, I won't let anybody rob me of what God has given me. I won't let anybody get my eye off what God has given. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, there are so many things to distract God's children in this day. There are so many religious avenues and all sorts of voices in our day. And my friend, every voice that claims to be from God is not from God. Every little broadcast, every little thing you can watch on the internet. Amen. Somebody's asking me the other day, I don't want to get in trouble here if you don't like it. Well, amen. See Brother Tim, he'll talk to you about it. But somebody's asked me about Shepherd's Chapel. And Shepherd's Chapel's one of these big television programs, and they do a lot of teaching of the Word of God. I'll say there's a lot of good things they teach, and there's a lot of heretical things they teach. If you ain't careful, amen, you'll start listening, amen, to religious voices that will, my friend, distract you from protecting the truth that God has put in your life. Amen. Amen. I feel like maybe we just need to say it here, and you can do with it what you want. Amen. I was talking with some of the men in the church maybe last Wednesday night, and I see that there is a danger in our day. You think, well, pastor's just out building his own kingdom. I'm not. Amen. If you got questions, we'll talk about anything I preach. I'll answer for it. If I'm wrong, you can call me out for it, but you got to use the Bible to do so. But there's a distraction going on in our day where people give more value to the voices, amen, apart from what's coming from this pulpit, and starting listening and giving credence to other things. I'm just going to tell you tonight that ain't the will of God. And I ain't one of these preachers claims to be right on everything I preach. Now, if I preach it, I think I'm right on it. Amen. But I've been proven to be wrong before. Amen. Amen. We don't believe in the infallibility of men, but I know this. Amen. The psalmist said, amen, I'm going to guard. I'm not going to become distracted. Amen. By all these other things that are trying to rob me, what I've been given is truth for my life. Amen. I'm telling you, YouTube, I mean, you can find it everywhere. Twitter and Facebook and the whole 10, 12 yards, however many yards it is. Amen. These all kinds of things. Amen. You say, well, how do I deal with all that? Amen. Number one, first and foremost, amen, you got to filter it personally through your relationship to the Word of God. And then beyond that, a good place to start is, does this line up with what my man of God's been feeding me out of the Word of God? Amen. I could go calling names tonight, the Stephen Andersons, the recovering fundamentalists. Amen. Amen. I go on and on tonight about so many that people get sidetracked and distracted about things that are so stupid. How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? Who gives a flying hoot? Amen. Well, did Adam have a belly button? Why in the world would you want to become so distracted about something so stupid? Amen. And we wonder why. Why can't I be blessed? Why don't I know about that immeasurable joy in my life? Maybe it's because we're being distracted by things that don't really matter. Amen. And things that our life needs to be yoked to in the Word of God and are essential to our Christian life. My friend, through that distraction, we're missing out on what it really is to live the blessed life. Amen. I believe that's right. I didn't mean to get in all that. It ain't in the notes, but it felt pretty pointed right there. Amen. The undefiled path, the undistracted protection. Well, I may not get out of two verses. Daddy said do one a week. I'm going to do two tonight. Amen. Notice with me. I see here in verse number 2, an undivided pursuit in the blessed life. Here's what he said. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And I don't want to do injustice to the Word of God. The English language would allow us tonight, amen, to say it this way for clarity. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and blessed are they that seek Him with the whole heart. He's given us two parts of the blessed life in one verse. And one is the keeping of His testimonies. And then He said, with this blessed life, amen, yoked our lives, yoked to the Word of God. It involves an undivided pursuit. And is seeking the Lord through His Word. Watch it. With our whole heart. With our whole heart. Not doing it half-hearted. Not doing it with most of our heart, but doing it with our whole heart. I'm going to tell you what's killing Christianity and stealing joy from God's people in this hour. It is that we're not wholehearted about that King James Bible. Amen. When you, my friend, began, amen, just to give God your leftovers and just give God a measure and a percentage, and we think, well, the wholehearted business, that's for the preacher to do that, that's for Brother Tim to do that, and that's for the elders to do. My friend, that's for every child of God, amen, to be wholehearted about God's Word. Are you wholehearted or are you half-hearted? Do you say, well, I just didn't have time to look at it and study it and glean from it. And Sister Candy talking about hearing God through it. Didn't have time to do that today, but it ain't that big a deal. It's just one day. You know what that is? That is lacking being wholehearted. And I understand there are days we get busy. There are days. Amen. I'm a pastor. I'm ashamed to admit it. Can I be honest tonight? There are days I feel so divided in responsibilities and irons in the fire. But there's something on the inside that I know I can't make it without the Word of God. I can't make it without seeking the Lord through His Word with my whole heart. And so even on days maybe I can't read, amen, 20 chapters. Maybe I can't give large amounts of time to doing it. I can't get a hold of something. And I, my friend, set my heart to know it and to think on it and meditate on it. I'm telling you, that is involved in the blessed life. Amen. How we doing? Amen. The blessed life. This is when we yoke our life to the Word of God. It leads us to the blessed life. Amen. Are you living that tonight? Or are you drudging your way through life? Is everything bad and nothing's good and nobody likes you and everybody hates you and you're just eating worms every day? Can I tell you tonight? In that book, on the authority of this book, over and over through Psalm 119, the psalmist, in talking about his relationship, the Word of God, he said there's joy in it, there's life in it, there's satisfaction in it. And he begins the whole psalm. Ain't it a wonder he begins out of 176 twofold verses that he's going to make. Amen. Twofold statements in every verse. And Brother Tim, he would start here. This is where he begins. And the Word of God has brought me much joy. Amen. Where's your joy come from? Amen. Thank God for the joy of family. Thank God for the joys of friendship. Thank God for the joys of coming to church. Thank God for the joy of good health and being able to work. Amen. Thank God for the joys of whatever that gets our, amen, fires burning. And let me tell you something. Amen. If you ain't finding your real, true, lasting sense of joy, that if all those other things went away tonight, you could still find it in this book, then, my friend, you need to yoke your life to the Word of God, the blessed life. Well, I don't have time to preach the rest of it, but let me say in verses 3 through 6, when you yoke your life to the Word of God, here's what you learn. You learn to have the blessed life. You learn to have the blameless life. So, now wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute. Read what the Bible said. Y'all see verse number 3? It's a big verse. Shy, it don't mean what it says, then tell me what it means then. Let me tell you something. That verse means exactly what it says. They also do know iniquity. Here's what the old timer said. Here's what that verse is saying. We could affirm what the old timers have said and have been passed down to us. Sin will keep you from that book, or that book can keep you from sin. There's a choice you have to make tonight. Amen. And when you yoke your life to the Word of God, it comes with a decision that I am going to allow this book to lead my life away from iniquity. Amen. Well, you know, we all fall and falter and fail. Listen, we understand that, and there's a danger in ripping one verse, amen, and fitting a whole entire doctrine around it without letting the rest of the Word of God bring a balance to that truth. We understand that. Amen. But in verse 3, it's just pretty dogmatic. If you'll yoke your life to that book, here's what I think David's saying. That book won't ever lead you into sin. That book don't lead people into fornication. That book don't lead people into drunkenness. It don't lead them to the honky-tonks and the pool halls and the bar rooms. Say amen. It don't lead you to shacking up before you get married. I'd go on and on and on. It don't lead you. I don't care if you got John 3:16 tattooed from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. It don't lead you to the tattoo parlors, and it don't lead you to the moonshine places. Amen. The Word of God, are we enjoying this? I'm enjoying this. Amen. The blameless life. Amen. Let me give you this. I won't preach it all. I got to come back, but I want to throw this out. You know what will happen in this blameless life? Notice, and I'm skipping a lot. Amen. But notice here what he said in verse number 6. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. The psalmist is saying that when I respect the Word of God enough to yoke my life to it, here's what I find. I don't have to blush about where I've been and what I've done and who I've been running with. I don't have to be red-faced about what activities I've been involved in. I don't have to hang my head when a man of God is preaching on the sins of the day and of the times and is calling it out for what it is that I have yoked my life to the Word of God. And when he's on those things, I can say, that's right, preacher, amen, preach on. Amen. When he goes preaching on, amen, taking a little sip of wine and alcoholic beverage to calm your nerves and he blows that out, amen, you don't have to hang your head in shame and go, well, who told him what I was doing? No, you can go, woo, hallelujah, preach it, preacher. Amen. And if you'll yoke your life to the Word of God, amen, there may be faults and failures and little stumbles along the way, amen, but you won't wreck your life, amen, and have to stand in front of your family and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. I'm sorry that I ruined and wrecked my testimony. And you won't have to stand in front of the church and your brothers and your sisters in the faith and with shame say, I'm sorry for a decision I made. I'm sorry for where I went. I'm sorry for what I done. And on the day of judgment, most of all, you won't have to hang your head in shame before the one who loved you and saved you and died for you and shed his blood for you. And on their judgment day, we'll be able to stand there without any shame. But you can't have that hope just living your life on a whim. You can't have that hope and that unashamed, amen, that unashamedness, that blushlessness. You can't have that just living your life on opinions and feelings. Amen. You gotta set your life to be yoked to the Word of God. Is this making any sense? Hey, Leth, the Word of God is an ox. Are you yoked to it? Are you yoked to it? Are you plowing with it? Are you going in the same direction it's going? Amen. Or are you that ass that is not natured to fit the yoke, and you're always bucking and you're always bursting and you're always trying to break out? Always trying to find a new doctrine. What's wrong with the old ways? Amen. I want to have my life so yoked to it that I'm in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, learning of Him, learning of His Word, going in the way He'd have me to go, so I can live the blessed life, I can live the blameless life, and then we'll see it, if we get there, the boastless life. You know what happens when you yoke your life to the Word of God? You know what happens? We're out of here in 2 minutes. You know what happens? It don't make you proud and arrogant and pharisaical. It makes you humble. Because you find out that when you yoke your life to that book, there's a lot of things God requires of you that you cannot in and of yourself do. Amen. I don't care what the Arminians say. They're so confused and dumb, it's ridiculous. Well, you got just to will your way and willpower. Paul said in Romans 7, there's some things I would and I've tried to will myself to do that I have failed to do. He said, there's only one way I can live up to what God has said. And that is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ on my life, His Word connected to my life. And Paul, the closer Paul, the longer Paul was saved, and the closer Paul got to the Lord, he realized how far from God he really was. Amen. And I'll show you some things out of verse 7 and 8 about the boastless life that has blown my mind. Amen. And it comes from yoking your life to the Word of God. You don't go, well, thank you, Lord, I am not as this publican. He is awful, and I am so wonderful. Oh, no. You yoke your life to the Word of God, it'll humble you down, show you what you really are, and cause you to beg God for help to be able to stay yoked and connected and living up to what God has called us to be.